Dallas Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
Thank you very much. Our speaker for today is Dr. Gene Pond, who is Associate Professor of Bible Exposition and Associate Academic Dean for Enrollment Services. And his research interests are wide-ranging, with memberships in professional societies for biblical studies and institutional research and enrollment management. He seeks to develop systems that cause Christian organizations to focus on their mission and to run more effectively and more efficiently. A teacher of adults for over 30 years, Dr. Pond also is helping to lead a North Dallas church where he serves as a teaching elder. And Dr. Pond and his wife Carol, who teaches kindergarten at a Christian school, are committed to a Christian education at both ends of the age spectrum. They have two sons, Caleb and Nathan, both of whom are married, one of whom attended Dallas Seminary, graduated from here, and the other one who's getting his master's in conducting at University of Arkansas, and he is one of those music guys. We're glad to have Dr. Pond with us today. If you will, let's welcome Dr. Gene Pond.
Thank you, and I want to extend my welcome to the Global Proclamation Academy members. It's so good to have you here, and that you fit very well into our topic of our message today. I want to welcome one other group. I'm not going to have you stand, but I know that there are some first-year students that perhaps this is the very first classes you're taking at Dallas Seminary, taking first-year Greek, which started this week. I won't make you stand, but you want to raise your hand just so we can say hi to welcome some of you. The first class at Dallas Seminary, around the room. So glad to have you here. Last week, Dr. Jim Allman began and ended his chapel message with a very famous poem from Robert Frost entitled The Road Less Traveled. I don't know if you're here to hear it, but you perhaps remember that poem. He evoked our need to depend on the Lord through this time of being overburdened, a time of being bearing the burden of ministry, which, you know, we came here with that kind of burden, we carry that kind of burden, and we're going to have that kind of burden the rest of our lives. But particularly while we bear the books and baggage of seminary, we need to have some type of supernatural help to help us get through. And I appreciated so much that message. I want to build on that message with a reminder to you and me of how we are part of God's providing that support. Another resource when we think of ourselves to be at work while others play in the summertime, or who long to return to that simplicity and fun of our regular lives, not here, but somewhere else. Would you turn with me to the fourth chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes? That's right after the book of Proverbs in your Old Testament. Ecclesiastes 4, this puzzling book presented by the preacher, known by his Hebrew name Koheleth, lays out wise knowledge, I think, of our everyday lives, our labor, our use of time, and our satisfaction while living in a world that seems to take that and turn it on its head. But it is a good creation of God. Koheleth the preacher tells us to guard ourselves and find joy in our friendships with team members. Please follow along as I read Ecclesiastes 4. 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either one of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there's not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. The context of this passage is in the previous two verses. It talks about the condition of aloneness when trying to find rewards of unrelenting labor. Does that sound familiar to you and me? Unrelenting labor? Why do labor and toil when no one, especially yourself, benefits from it. This is workaholism, and it is futility. It's missing the point. It's frustration. It's making the final goal of our work the only goal, rather than finding joy in the process. Our passage pictures withstanding the dangers and trials of travel in the ancient Near East. Trips were, if you think about it, the Bible speaks incidentally of it, but trips were basically for either business, and most business was close to home, so you didn't take business trips very much, or for pilgrimages, such as going to Jerusalem several times a year, or for personal celebrations, family celebrations like weddings or perhaps funerals. But people didn't travel that much. In your covenant community, you stayed close to home, where people knew you, where you had safety, you had a place to live, a place to stay at night. Travel along strange roads was fraught with disasters, both real and imagined. And so in this environment, travel with companions was established wisdom. So in one sense, this is not new truth to the reader of our text. And it's probably not novel news to you and me. Two are better than one. If this summer is part of our road less traveled, we need to remember the importance of our friendships to help help us make our journey day in and day out. The passage presents four steps of wisdom for you and me to help us deal with the loneliness and the burnout that challenge our lives. The first step's in verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. And that good is picking up a theme of the book of Ecclesiastes. The good really is a thematic tie back to creation truth, back to Genesis 1 through 3. Even before the fall, God created things that were very good. And a lot of Ecclesiastes is reminding us we live in a world that's designed for us to have goodness. We need to find that joy in our everyday lives. But verse 9 says, find a friend to multiply your ministry. This may be at your church, down the hall in your apartment complex, sitting next to you in chapel, or in the classroom. Find somebody to share your ministry with because you have a good return for their labor. I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. Two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. It's not just that 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 + 1 working together is really more than two. There's synergy involved. Yeah. We need friends. We need to share our ministries. The second step in dealing with loneliness and burnout is in verse 10. Join with a friend to make it through the pitfalls of life. Either if either one of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there's not another to lift him up. There's no one to help you. Tough on you, basically, this is saying. Now that sounds strong the way that I worded that, but that's basically what wisdom is telling us. Hey, take steps now to avoid pitfalls in the future. You know, this idea of travel, if I were to envision this, one of the travel passages I really love is in Luke 10, the Good Samaritan story, that steep road going up from Jericho up to Jerusalem. And a man falls by the wayside and people pass him by. It was traveled, but dangers are involved there. And sometimes people don't help one another. We need to be that good Samaritan in the way we live. We need to be taking action to help one another because there'll be a time when we need somebody to help lift us up. The next verse explores a third step. Now, this is especially for the lonely. It speaks of sleeping and of finding a place where you can stay warm at night. It's not really talking about marriage here. It's talking about having to camp just off the road on that steep road up from Jerusalem, up from Jericho to Jerusalem. Suppose that the sun goes down and you're only halfway there. You need to find a place to stay, and there's nothing there out in the wilderness, and it gets cold at night. If you're all alone, where do you find warmth? Well, if you're traveling together, you huddle up together in your blankets and you're able to keep one another warm. But woe to the person who isn't with a companion. I think this speaks to our helping to meet deep needs. And this deals with our prayer requests, our sharing of needs, of being there when somebody has a very real problem. You'd love to have somebody there for you. How often do you and I take the time to invest in one another? I know there's many needs, but there's many ways to solve needs too. We certainly can at least pray, but let's step into some of those needs and help meet them. Verse 12 has a fourth step in dealing with loneliness and burnout. Partner with a friend to withstand opponents. The New Living Translation says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. That's a bit interpretive, but it gets across the idea, doesn't it? That it's carrying out that mission we've heard today of, I'll watch your back. We need somebody to watch our back, and we need to be watching one another's backs because we're going out into ministry, which is a dangerous place. We're going out into ministry to a world that is antagonistic, confrontive, that wants our heads, if you will. We need to help each other in our co-laboring in ministry. We need to stand in that gap. The passage ends with a proverb that does not teach the benefits of having a three-point sermon. Here I've got a four-point sermon. A three-four cord is not quickly broken. But it's an exclamation point to what we just read. If two people working together is good, three people is even better. And if I can not be accused of adding to the Word of God, a fourfold cord would even be better still. That's the wisdom of it. The more networks of friends that we have, the easier it is to survive in life. Four wise steps to live out God's support of one another as we go down the road less traveled. Realize that you're part of a ministry team and be a part of that. Join with a friend in wading through the problems. Be a friend to help meet deep needs. And stand with your fellow Christians who are under attack. You're sitting next to and in class with some of the leaders of the Christian world now and in the future. Those of you for Global Proclamation Academy are making connections with people here and with one another that I hope you'll continue for the rest of your lives, personally and electronically and with phone messages. That's true for all of us. Our person who prayed today was overlapped with me for 2 years in my THM program. I'm not sure we've seen one another for all these many years, but we are fellow brothers in the work. He prayed for me. I pray for him. We need to support one another. We need to be here and realize that our being here is going to continue for the rest of our lives. This is how God works through one another to help us meet the stresses and burnouts as we go down the road less traveled. We're all on the road less traveled together. We need to realize that. Would you pray with me? May we, Father, be part of each other's threefold cord. We want to be used by you on this road less traveled. Help us to look around and comfort one another, support one another, work with one another, defend one another. We thank you for giving us friends. Help us to be one. In Jesus' name, amen.